This morning, we're gonna take a break from 1 Peter. We'll finish it up next week. But the reason being is today's Healing Sunday, and I wanted to preach on healing. We haven't had a Healing Sunday in a while. I wanted to go to Luke chapter 9 with you this morning, and so we're going to put that up on the screen for you this morning. Feel free to follow along in your own Bible if you'd like. Well, Luke 9, verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 6 and 10 to 11. Starting with verse 1, chapter 9. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Verse 10. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. He took them with him and withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out about it, they followed him and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, it is with great expectation we come. We want to be shaped. We want to be filled. We want to grow deeper with you because of the power of your word through the power of your spirit. And so, Lord, come now. Help us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want you to say this with me this morning. Everyone can pray.
Everyone can pray.
Let's do it one more time.
Everyone can pray.
That's the whole sermon right there. That's it. If you come away with nothing else, just come away with that incredible assurance. Everyone can pray. Everyone can go pull off one of those strings in there and pray. Everyone can pray. Everyone has the authority and the power of Jesus to pray. You've got it. There's nothing I'm going to do right now that changes that. Okay? I'm just going to say it about 20 more times in 20 different ways. It is Healing Sunday. I wanted to, once again, take a little break from our piece in 1 Peter. I also have a little testimony to share with you this morning. It is overdue, very overdue. You're going to discover how overdue in just a second. Some of you will remember when our family moved to Richmond from North Carolina. It was a harrowing journey. There were a few challenges, and you may or may not remember one of those challenges that actually went out as a prayer request was Josh has thrown out his back, and I had. I have chronic back pain because I played too hard as a kid in sports, and my thorn to bear now is back pain. But in this particular instance, I threw my back out in a way I'd never experienced in my life. It was bad. I mean, really bad. Like, lay on the bed, move your finger, and your back hurts. And we're like 4 days away, I think, from the moving truck getting there. Great timing, right? You know, Lord is good. The move happened. Got to Richmond. Back's still hurting. And it's just this on and off again, just pain. And it was about my second or third Sunday here. And we were having a healing service, just like we do, are having today. And my focus that Sunday was, I'm the new guy. So I'm just trying to see how everything works, right? And, you know, as much as I'd like my own stuff taken care of, I need to figure out how this is all happening. And I remember we just were focused, we're getting in, we're doing all this stuff. One of the words of knowledge that Sunday was sore backs. And I'm like, wow, I'm busy. And so, you ever feel like you're getting set up for something, right? After the service, we were all standing up front in the sanctuary. We were still doing the unified service, and we were just standing around, and I thought, you know what? My back's killing me. I'm going to ask for somebody to pray for it. And I just walked up and asked a couple folks, and they said, oh, of course, sure, we'd love to pray for it. And they did, and it was simple, and it was sweet and beautiful and quick, and because everybody was leaving, and we said, great, we'll see y'all next week, and I was excited. It was a fun Sunday, and I ran to grab my stuff from behind me and just jumped up the steps and reached down and grabbed it. And then the thought occurred to me, that has not been a move in your arsenal for a few weeks, Josh. And I stood up, did kind of this stretched it back and forth. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling really good. And so the rest of the day, I kept kind of, this is so unfaithful, isn't it? I kept waiting for it to come back, right? The rest of the week, I was like, at any minute, it's going to come back. The rest of the month, it didn't come back. Now, I will say my chronic back pain is not gone. It still occasionally now and then will flare back up on me. But I also say that that Sunday, I had pain radiating down into my knees. I didn't even know if I was going to stand in the pulpit the whole Sunday. That was my prayer that morning. I remember it clearly. I walked out of there pain-free. And all I can say is, praise be to God. Amen? But my question to you is, when does something like that happen? And I think the answer is, when the body of Christ, in faith and humble reliance upon God, prays. Plain and simple. When somebody says, oh, I'll pray for you for that. I'll pray for you for that. Why? Because everyone can pray. Everyone can pray. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you can pray. You can pray. And I believe that it's the privilege and joy of every believer to pray and be prayed for healing and redemption in Christ. And that's once again, that's what we're talking about this morning, partly because it's Healing Sunday, but partly also because I think it's for such a time as this. Who here listens to Christian music on the radio? Have you noticed an increase in songs about healing? Anybody else notice this? I mean, if you were to look at like the great hymnody of past, there is, you know, we go pull over one of the hymnals, there is not a very big section on healing songs. There's some, but it's just, it wasn't one of the grand themes of early hymnody. But I'm going to tell you what, it's all over the radio right now. I just did a quick search, and this is just a list of songs about healing that are on the radio right now. And this is not an exhaustive list. This is just the one that came up really fast. Let's see, we got Healer, Healing, Healing Begins, The Name of Jesus, Come Alive, Resurrecting, Heal Me, O Lord, Healing Reign, Heal Our Land, You Say, Waymaker, Healing Is Here, Jesus, You're My Healer, Mended, God of Miracles. That's the short list, by the way. There's a song out on the radio right now. Have you heard it? It's called Too Good to Not Believe. And the chorus is, I believe you're the wonder-working God, you're the wonder-working God, all the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. The whole song, all it is just testifying to the healing work of Jesus. It's a whole song on it. It's amazing. I say this to make the point that I've always felt like when you really want to know what's important to a culture or a society, all you got to do is listen to the music. For better or for worse, you will find out what people really care about if you listen to music. Friends, what does it mean when so much of our Christian music is centered on this idea of the healing power of Jesus Christ? What do you make of that? I think what we're seeing is we're seeing something leaven in the body of Christ. It's brooding, if you will, stirring up. Something's happening. There's this trust. There's this even deep hope. It's not enough to just have an orthodoxic belief that says, oh, I do think Jesus did miracles and probably still does them today. People want more than a head knowledge. They want to see it and experience it and know that it's real. As a matter of fact, they're willing to put their own life out there and say, I'm going to pray for it and wait until it happens. And they put a trust in Christ. And I think it's building in the church. And our call, our response to that as believers in the church is to commit to growing to prayer, right? It's to pray and believe. And so that sounds great on paper, right? But it's kind of intimidating. I don't know, have you ever had somebody come to you with a really hard thing and you just say, in all faith and honesty, can I pray for you for that? And you pray for something that's really hard. It's intimidating. And yet, faith is rising. It's happening. And I think we're called to grow in this. As a matter of fact, and I believe that we're about to see a really wonderful thing emerge in the church. Why? Because everyone can pray. Everyone can pray. You know, when we look at our text this morning, I can't help but think that this was the reality that the disciples were stepping into. We know these guys, right? We've seen their character. They are very human, very flawed individuals. They're working through their own stuff. And it opens up here. These are the same people that just the chapter before this one, Jesus calms the waves on the water, and they look at one another and they go, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the waters?" And they obey them. There's, as much as they've seen up to that point, they're still going, "Wow, look what he did." They're trying to get their heads around this Jesus guy. And soon after that, we get this very text this morning. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they weren't ready for this. I mean, talk about getting shoved into the deep end. You just wonder what that conversation went like. Jesus says, "All right, guys, come here. I've got a new mission for you today. I'm going to give you authority over demons and the power to heal diseases. And I just want you guys to go out for a while and just go village to village and just go do that. Okay? What do you think they're looking at each other thinking? I don't think they left the villages going, "I've got the power." That's not what they were doing. They're probably looking at each other going, "So let's just be perfectly." He said, "Declare the kingdom, heal people." Is that okay? Just making sure. And to make it even more complicated, he says, this is verse 3. "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there." Now, there's a few things you could say about that section, but I think what really, the summary of it is simply, Jesus wants each of these disciples to go out in a humble, simple reliance upon God. They are not the big show coming to town. They're not, "Look at me." It is you walk in there simply, you pray for people, and you rely solely on the power that I've given you. And then you leave. And there's going to be people that even with that are going to say, "I'm not buying it." You leave. You just leave. Because the kingdom is advancing. It's all about what God can do, not what you can do. The medium is the message there, right? And the amazing part is, here you have these individuals. Let's be honest. They're like you and me. They don't really bring anything to the table apart from Jesus. It's all they've got. And yet in verse 6, this is what it says. They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. I think these are one of those moments, and I've said this before, where because we've read the scriptures so much, this just does not catch us by surprise. Of course they heal. We knew where they were going to heal. We know how the story ends, right? But if we just read it afresh, read it with just the excitement of the gospel narrative that's unfolding right before your eyes. You've seen these guys the whole time. They really haven't stepped into anything yet. And Jesus is like, "I want you to go do this." And you've got to be thinking, can they do that? And verse 6 says, yes. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. In Christ Jesus, all things are possible. And we know that they were excited about this because verse 10 tells us they had to tell Jesus about all of it. I mean, they came back. I don't know if you ever experienced this. It's kind of the feeling of if your kid or your grandkid, they come home from school and they burst through the door and you hear them before you see them, but they're like, "I've got to tell you this amazing thing that happened today." And you're like, "Okay, where are they?" And you're trying to get connect to them, and they're already telling the story. They're yelling it at the top of their lungs. And You're just trying to get to them. We had one of these instances. Addie, you probably don't remember this. Pardon me for telling the story, and I hope I tell it correctly. Where Addie came home from school one day, and she's like, "You wouldn't believe what happened at my school today." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, this is going to be a good story. You know it's going to be a good story." She's like, "We were on the playground, and then all the kids had to leave and go off on the side of the playground because there was a big snake in a bush, and our principal had to come outside, and he had to go in there and reach in. He had to pull the snake out of the bush, but it turns out it was just a belt." Was it a belt? Something like, okay, yeah. Anyways, and so there was just this pure raw excitement running through the house. This was the first thing I heard when she got home. I kind of feel like it was the same way with the disciples. Like, they get back to Jesus, like, "You wouldn't believe what happens." As a matter of fact, chapter 10, the very next chapter where he sends out the 70, says the 70 came back overjoyed. They couldn't believe what happened in Jesus' name. They're just really simple, normal people like you and me. They've got nothing to bring to the table except Jesus. And just to be clear, I don't think this is the moment in Scripture where this mandate is put on the church. That's not right now. That happens in Acts, right? Because Jesus is going to say, "Hey, before anything wonderful happens, you need to wait for the Holy Spirit." Okay? And they do. And it happens. And what happens? Well, I think as Luke is telling this story, the paradigm is set right here. People will actually go out and do the things Jesus did. Which, that's what John tells us, right? Greater things you will see. And we see all through Acts, people going and healing in the name of Jesus. We see this witness all through church history. I didn't tell the first group this, but I'll give you extra details this morning. St. Augustine himself, we're familiar with St. Augustine or Augustine, 4th century. He himself writes about being an eyewitness to seeing healing miracles, seeing the blind made well. He even at one point says in City of God that I'm not going to quote him perfectly, but a little apprehensive because we're not documenting all these miracles that are happening just like they did in the old days. That's his word, in the old days. Just like in the New Testament. This is Augustine. This guy's so central to church theology, especially if you're in our little weird Presbyterian world, because John Calvin and Martin Luther trace so much of their theology back to St. Augustine. And I just say that to say, this has been something that's been given to the church eternal until he returns. And we're called to pray with simple, humble reliance on God for healing and redemption. Why? Well, everyone can pray. That's why. Jesus enables that. Jesus calls us to do it. I want to give you one story, and then we're going to go into prayer. Pastor David Singh. Anybody know Pastor David Singh up at Eternity? He's a wonderful man. Eternity is an eco church on the north side, and David was invited to come speak at Eco's national gathering, which is like it's the big to do. It happened just a couple weeks ago. I was so excited to go, and then COVID. So I got to take it in online, which was good enough. And David was invited to come teach one evening, and it was quite powerful, quite unorthodox for what you would think a Presbyterian denomination would say, "We want you to come talk about this." Because what he talked about was something kind of akin to what we're talking about today. It was about hearing the invitation of the Lord to step into the work of the Spirit in the world and in your communities. And more specifically, he was talking about the call to pray for healing and redemption in our communities. Now, y'all, this was to 1,100 Presbyterian leaders. And as I could tell, and folks I've asked since then that were there confirmed this, David had them just eaten out of his hand. I mean, they were locked in. This was sweet words to a room. And the way he did this is he just shared story after story of God's amazing work. And the very last story, of course, was one that was dear to his heart and quite a good story. It was about his own daughter. who had been miraculously healed as a child, and that's another story. But a few years ago, she was diagnosed with MS. And they're traveling through this as a family, just kind of walking through them piece by piece. And so as a family, they decided to go to a healing service at all places, St. Giles Presbyterian Church. And some of you prayed for her at that service, just like what we're doing today. And I don't know how many years ago this was that happened. I forgot what he said. But from that day forward, she has never experienced a symptom of MS again. Praise be to God. Right. Has a family now. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And yet, but when does something like that happen? It happens when a Jesus follower humbly, simply, and reliant upon God prays. That's it. That's it. That's what we do, right? Is we say, let me pray for you. And we, in obedience, we pray, and then we hands off, and whatever happens next, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. However he chooses to meet that person, that's Jesus. I don't know why he does it this way. I wouldn't have put it on us, to be totally honest. Y'all are lovely, but I'm just saying. But that's what he does. He says, pray, and then hands off, because it's my kingdom that's advancing. Friends, I want to encourage you. Everyone can pray. As the Lord leads you, guides you, I don't doubt for one second he's going to give you invitations to pray, even this week. He's going to call you. You're going to have those moments. I used to have this friend, you know, every time something would happen, she'd say, I'm a hugger and a prayer. Can I give you a hug? Can I pray for you? I'm not a hugger, so I don't say that. But what does it mean to grow and being somebody that just says, can I pray for you right now? Right now. And then trust that to Jesus. Because everybody can pray. As a matter of fact, we're going to pray today here in just a short moment. But before we get there, let me pray. Heavenly Father, it is with great joy and great surrender that we say, you are God and we are not. And we just consider it pure privilege that you call us to pray and that we can receive prayer anytime, any day. What joy you've given us. How much you love us. You've proven it over and over. Jesus, we celebrate that. You are our living hope. There's nothing beyond you that we could ever put our entire lives on, stake our lives on. And we just declare that once again this morning. It's in your name we pray, Christ. Amen.